Welcome, everyone, to the One More Game Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jeremy Culver, a.k.a. Darcy, and with me is the California Thirst Quencher, Pete Legia. Pete, how you doing, man?
Not too bad. We had a pretty big week this last week. Just 20 minutes ago, and there's a big trade in the NBA for all you NBA fans. We're not going to talk about that, obviously, but the bigger news, the biggest news, PSWF, baby, season 2 launch.
Season 2.
And as you announced on that show, we got merch, baby.
Yeah, we do. We got merch. We got the new season going on. The episode was fire. If you haven't checked it out already, you can see here on youtube.com/PressStart28. Check out the newest episode. And I will give a little tease. Episode 2 has already been recorded. And in my opinion, episode 2 is even better. Like, admittedly, awesome. It's even better. So I'm excited to have episode 2. I won't lie, though. Episode 3, we haven't recorded it yet. I don't know how it lives up to episode 2. Because I feel like episode 2 is just so good that it's like, episode 3 is definitely going to be a step back. And that's unfortunate. But it could surprise us. Because, again, the one thing about PSWF is the computers do all the fighting. It's all computers. We don't do anything.
It's crazy that way.
So we never know what the computer could do. The computer could actually be like, hey, I'm going to make episode 3 even better. But just right now, I don't know how you do it.
And also, shout out to you and Kyle Wu on commentary. You both just knocked it out of the park. I don't know if Kyle's like retired officially or unofficially, or if he's just taking a break, but you know, all three of you would like really knock it out of the park. But yeah, y'all just do really well when you do that kind of thing. So that's always like my favorite part, honestly. Like, the matches are kind of cool, but knowing that it is a computer, it's also just kind of a crapshoot. But you guys, like, I think you guys just always really cover it really well. Like, natural reactions and stuff.
Definitely appreciate it. No, Kyle is not retired or stepped away. It's more so just like it is here with our podcast, right? It's more time consuming of like, when can we all meet up to do the recordings? And unfortunately, Kyle's been busy. So it was like, all right, Kyle, you got to step in and help out. And Kyle, of course, does a great job when he steps in and helping it all out. Not to get down the sports hole, though, because, of course, our last podcast, we started off talking a lot of sports. But I just wanted to bring up NFC Championship last weekend, not NFC, NFC and AFC Championship games last weekend. And Pete, you were right with one of them. You were wrong with the other.
I was 1-1.
I was 0-2. And it was very unfortunate because I think the NFC Championship would have been like much closer if the San Francisco 49ers had a quarterback to actually play the game.
If somebody could throw the football while they was also taking the snaps, would have been helpful.
So we have our finalists for the Super Bowl. It's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, as you did mention after the podcast, it is the first Super Bowl where both teams, both starting quarterbacks are black, which is awesome. It's historic here for the NFL, which is awesome. We love seeing the progress going on. And of course, next weekend we're recording on Super Bowl Sunday, so we do have to like keep that in mind. So I want to ask you to now, real quick, because, of course, with Super Bowl Sunday, you might change your opinion. But as of this moment, who do you got in the Super Bowl?
Well, I think the Eagles should be favored. I think they are generally the better team, but I'm rocking with Michael Jordan. I think Mahomes does things with the football that the only thing I can compare it to, really, is things that Michael Jordan did with the basketball. And I'm not saying that Mahomes will have the accolades at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, just Brady with 10 Super Bowl appearances and 7 wins is just... He's been in let's put it this way. Tom Brady has been in just under 20% of the Super Bowls that have been played in like history.
So, yeah.
Which is an insane number to just consider that's a thing, is that 15 to 20% of them included him. So I don't know if he'll ever get in terms of like titles, but just what he does with the ball of football, just the crazy things. I mean, he had like so many plays. I remember watching that game last week in the AFC Championship game where it was just like, dumbfounded. And Joe Burrow is just, he's probably the second best quarterback right now. You could probably argue 1-1A or 2-2A with him and Josh Allen, but like, just Mahomes is just insane. And I'm fully ready to eat crow and see the Eagles win like 31-10 or something. And then, but I'm rocking with the Chiefs.
All right. Well, sounds good. I don't have any dog in the fight. I know you don't have any dog in the fight. I'm kind of rocking the Chiefs really. At the moment, but we'll see, of course, next weekend when we get there, what am I feeling heading into that. But, of course, everyone, you're not here to talk about football or basketball or PSWF, even though, of course, I hope you're talking about PSWF. We're here to talk about some video games, and we're here for the One More Game podcast. So, everyone, welcome to the One More Game podcast. This is a podcast that is centered around making sure you're informed about all the video game news happening around the world, whether it is Nintendo, Xbox, PlayStation, or PC. If there's news that you need to know about, you'll make sure that you know about it. When you're listening to this on your podcast service, make sure you hit the subscribe button or the follow button, depending on what your service offers. And if your podcast service allows reviews, please leave a 5-star review and tell everyone why you love the One More Game podcast, because we really enjoy bringing this to you each and every Friday. If you'd like to be part of the show by asking a question or suggesting a topic for discussion, head on over to pressstartnews.net/onemoregame and fill out the submission form, and your submission could be used on the next episode. Or you could drop it off live here in chat at youtube.com/pressstart28 like KG Disc Golf is doing, which literally made me think that our live stream was messed up because he said your live is interrupted. And I was like, oh no.
That. I was thinking like, it looks like it's running to me.
I was like, everything seems to be working. But he was talking about, of course, we're interrupting his gameplay. Well, you know what? You have to deal with it for a little bit here. Of course, we're going to be doing that throughout the show. So if you want to be part of the show, make sure you're here live as we bring those up as things unfold. But if this is your first time to the podcast, welcome to the podcast. I hope you enjoy your listen and I hope you enjoy your stay. But if you are returning, you already know what it is. We start off every single podcast talking about what we've been playing lately. So Pete, what have you been playing lately?
I got two games. One is a continuation of last week. The continuation from last week, Hi-Fi Rush. I think I might have undersold it a little bit. Again, I don't think it's game of the year. I've had some discussions with some friends. It's like, well, if you like this game so much, why wouldn't it be game of the year? And I'm like, well, you know, not every, like, Marvel movies typically aren't like, you know, their popcorn flips typically don't like win Oscars, man. That's just how it is. I'm not saying it won't win any awards. That rad soundtracks. Stuff like that. And the gameplay is still kind of repetitive. The humor and the humor is just like right in my wheelhouse. It is just such stupid humor, though. And the gameplay, while repetitive, is still pretty fun. I still enjoyed it a lot. I beat it. That's why I'm continuing it from last week. Really fun game. There's some extras I haven't really gotten to. Don't know if I'll go back to them or not. I probably will for a little bit. You know, it's a really easy game to get into the flow of. So I'll probably double back and like try to do some of the extras, but it's if it gets on the people's game of the year list, or I should say the game of the year, like the Game Awards from like Keeley, it'll be like a stray nomination where it's like we had to get to 5 or 6 or whatever the arbitrary number we have, and you know this game's popular, so we'll throw it on there. But I just genuinely like it's 7 or 8. Which is really good, really fun. If you like that style of gameplay, it's really great. Still, you know, it is lacking in some areas, but I do highly recommend it, especially if you have Game Pass. Give it a try. But it's probably even worth the money that you'd have to pay for it if you like that style of gameplay. It's like an action game with rhythm game elements. So if you want to drop the money, I believe.
Yeah, it's only $30 on Steam.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a long game, but still, you know, especially if you can find it for a deal, like it goes on sale or something. You like an action game like that, I'd recommend it. The other game, I downloaded the demo for Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm Final Bar Line. And I had to triple check to make sure that was the correct title, because they just randomly add words to that. And I don't understand why a lot of them are there for. But anyway, downloaded it. Just as much as I remember, just as fun as I remember. It's a rhythm game, a straight rhythm game, not like Hi-Fi Rush, which is more action game with rhythm game elements. This is a straight rhythm game, kind of like an RPG style, because you like make a little party of dudes, of characters from across all your favorite Final Fantasy games. And I think they're actually, I don't know if they're going to have the characters involved, but they're going to have a bunch of like songs from other Square Enix games that you will be able to get off of their season passes or DLC or whatever like that as the game evolves, which is really cool. I'm probably going to end up buying it because I really enjoy it. I will say, I played it the last time I played this kind of game was on the 3DS. I do miss the stylus.
Yes. I said the same thing.
Oh, you downloaded too? Sweet. Don't feel so stupid. Yeah. And it's still fun. It's still great. I still enjoy it on the Switch. But yeah, I'm just like, I kind of wish I had the stylus for a little bit of this. But there's also some added elements. Like they got the double thing now. There's like, you could hit like multiple... they'll have like two things coming across at the same time. I don't think they had that before.
They did, but like if I remember correctly, at least in my experience, because I didn't play it on the hardest difficulty, even on the 3DS, but like it didn't happen often. Mostly, usually, what it was like it was quick succession like inputs, mm-hmm. but they did have every now and then because like you could hit A and B on. Okay. Like you could use the inputs to do some of the moves and stuff. Yeah. Like you didn't have to use the stylus for everything.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But still, I kind of miss the stylus. Yeah. I really wish I still had that. That's like my really biggest gripe with it. Especially because you still have the sliding motions on some of the things where you got to press up or press down. Maybe the one I'm thinking of that they didn't really have. I don't remember pressing up and down at the same or twice on like the same one or like with how they like have to go like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like the arrows will post. I don't know. Maybe that's what I was thinking where they didn't really have that. But either way, that's like my only really gripe. If you like other three theater rhythms, this game's going to be fun. You can download the demo on Switch. It's available on the 16th. You're not as big a fan of theater rhythm or you don't really care about rhythm games. I don't recommend it. It did remind me how many kick-ass fucking tracks Square Enix. I mean, video games in general, but man, they hit a lot of home runs. Oh, I do have one more critique for the demo specifically, because I don't think this is going to be the real version. I do wish they kind of like had like a couple of the full movie tracks that you could play too, because they don't have those. It's just mostly the battle tracks. Mm-hmm. So there's three types of tracks for people, you know, try to get through. There's three types of tracks. There's one that's focused on like the battle themes, which you're just kind of like staying still on screen, and you'll go through and like go through the rhythm game and your team, as you succeed with hitting the tracks correct or hitting the spots correctly, will fight the opponents, and as you miss, your team will lose life, take damage, and when they don't, you'll actually deal damage to them. Then there's the field themes, where it's like, you know, the main theme of Final Fantasy VII and stuff like that, which is what you'd hear when you're in the world maps, stuff like that. And there's a little more like sliding action, where you got to kind of move the cursor up and down to match where the tracks are. And there used to be, or there not used to be, because like I said, I think it's gonna be there's like a full motion one where they'd show video, like movies from the actual game, movie scenes from the game, and you'd play it to the tune, to the track basically of the movie that was shown. And they didn't demo any of those, and I'm kind of bummed out by that. I think they could have done with a couple of those. But that's really my only critique. And again, that's just demo specific because they're promoting that it's going to be in the actual game. So theoretically, that's not going to be an issue there.
Yeah, I think it's what I'm assuming is the problem, or the reason they decided to do it that way, is because if I remember correctly, there's only 26 of them in the game. Whereas, of course, they have like 300 plus songs overall. And so it's probably one of those things where they were like, we don't want to... You know, I agree with you, though. Those scenes are awesome to play. So, like, they probably were like, well, we want to leave those for the full flavor in the full 26. Game.
Because there's, like, 385 songs or something, so I assume they had more, I guess. But.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's only, like, if I remember correctly, 26. But the thing that's important to note, as you said, is, you know, the demo is out right now. It's on Switch and it's on PlayStation. The game comes out, what was it, on the 16th?
I think it's the 16th. I don't know if it's just Switch specifically or if it's
no that's like that's for both of them. So Switch it, okay. Switch and PlayStation, it's releasing on the same day, so it's the 16th technically, or at least that's what we think. And then all your demo progress carries over to the full game, so like if you wanted to that. you can play it right now and carry it over. So because you brought that up, and I agree, I did say that in our Discord group. I was like, that's the one thing I miss is the stylus. The stylus was great, but because you brought that up, it makes it even easier for me to talk about the game that I played, because I played a bunch of different games this week, honestly. Mm-hmm. I kind of was in this mood of not sure what I wanted to play in various Jazz. And the one game I was originally going to talk about was that one or Soul Hackers 2, because I'm very close to beating it. I kind of gone back and about to beat it. But I want to talk about a game that actually is old. And when I say old, it released in 2019. But I got this random itch the other day to just download it and play it. And I did. And I spent all day yesterday with any free time basically playing this game, and that is Teppan. So Teppan, if anybody remembers or does not know this game, this was basically a card game that was made by Capcom and Guangho Online that it basically features is centered around Capcom characters. So there's like Ryu from Street Fighter, Ken from Street Fighter, Chun-Li, has, you know, Leon Kennedy and Jill Valentine from Resident Evil. It has Monster Hunter characters. It has, something Stalkers. I can't remember, but Dark Stalkers, a fighting game. It has all these things, and the concept or the way the game plays is you have your main character, your hero that you utilize. So I'm just going to use Ryu for instance, and he has like a character ability that gets charged up based off of cards that you play. And you have hero card or monster cards, and then you have action cards. And basically, there's a three-player board. You throw a monster card onto the board, and then there's a little time limit, basically. There's like a little arrow that goes slowly across the screen, and then when it reaches the other side, if there's not an opponent in that slot, you attack the opponent hero's health to try to get them down. And of course, dwindle their health down to zero, and you win. If you play an action card, then it turns into basically a turn-based combat where basically you place the card, the action card, your opponent has a turn to answer it, like creating a chain, and then you can answer their chain and like do all these things, and then it plays it in reverse order. This game, when it first came out, if memory serves me right, a lot of people really enjoyed it, myself included. I did enjoy the game, and I just disappeared from it, didn't play it or anything like that. But like I said, randomly, and I know why it happened, because Crunchyroll is about to roll out a Street Fighter RPG on the mobile, and I got an email for it, and I was like, I want to play this, so I pre-registered for it. And as I was pre-registering for it, I saw Teppan, because of course I typed in Street Fighter, and Teppan showed up in that list, and I was like, man, I remember this game. I remember how much fun I had with this. I'm going to download it. And I was like, I'm going to download it just to have it. And I decided to jump into it. And honestly, Pete, I was having such a fun time last night with it. In ranked match, I'm on a 6-game winning streak, just destroying people as things are going. And I still don't know how to build a deck. Like, this is me with any card game. I don't know how to build a deck. I use the standard deck, and I just rock with it and run. And, like, eventually I know I'm going to run into somebody who, like, knows how to build a deck and does build a deck, and they're going to kick my ass. Yeah. But at the moment, I'm beating people with these starter decks. I'm having a good time with it. And I love the 2D animations that they have with all the character arts. It's a ton of fun. I think that the game is great. And I would love to see it get it, like, a little renaissance, a reignition of the game, because I know there's some people who never stopped playing it, and there was like a pro scene that had like actual money tied to like their world championship, but I don't know how many people are playing it now, and what's going on with 2023, because on their website, the last update they have right now when it comes to their pro tour is 2022, so I don't know, but I'd love to see like more people talking about it again, because it was a ton of fun.
Yeah, I do remember hearing about it back a while back. A lot of people were talking highly about it. I wonder if it's kind of like the new Marvel Snap game, kind of filling a little bit of the same void, where it's just a really snappy gameplay, really quick games.
Yeah.
Teppan was kind of like the original ones. I would like to see more games like that. The only card game that's kind of like similar to that, where it takes a pre-existing IP and like kind of like makes it into a card game that like is in paper is this game called Vice Schwartz.
Yes.
Where it focuses on like anime specifically, which I think is a lot more allowable in Japan than it is under our copyright laws here in the United States. Unless you're like, it's all owned by the, like, maybe now since Disney owns like, you know, what, half of like everything, they could probably maybe come up with something similar if they really wanted to. But yeah, it's always interesting to see the little different styles of gameplay, especially like within cards. Like, I just love talking about like card game design, like the in general, specifically focused when it comes to like Magic or games that I'm more used to. But yeah, I do remember hearing a lot about Teppan, so it's really cool and kind of got me a little itch to play some more card games again, you know? I haven't found one really to replace because I kind of stopped playing most of them. Sometimes you got the thing I keep forgetting is that I got to remember, and some just keep in mind, remind myself who shuffles who when it comes to the cards, you know what I mean? Don't let the cards shuffle to you. You got to shuffle the cards. I remember learning that from a very young age.
Well, if I'm going to tell you anything, download Teppan and play some Teppan and see if it's your cup of tea. Because I will tell you, you know, and this might be more for a future discussion episode that I've been looking to do, is, like you said, the other game that I could compare it to was Marvel Snap. And I liked Marvel Snap. I do like Marvel Snap. I still have it on my phone. I was playing it the other day for a little bit. Of course, I never got into it as much as you did, or like some of the other people. But like, I did enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But like, there was just something about Marvel Snap that didn't capture me a ton. As we talked about on the podcast, like, I really liked it, but it was just like there was just something that just didn't make me want to continuously play it over and over. And the thing, though, that I really liked about Teppan is it's snappy gameplay, as you talked about. I mean, matches, the round limit or the time limit is 5 minutes. So, like, at most, your game is going to take 5 minutes because that's your time limit for the overall game. Most of the time, I finish it within 2-3 minutes. I think it's just the factor of like this push and pull of like sometimes you're watching that line go across the map and you're like, okay, I want to, you know, is it going to hit? Is it going to happen? And then all of a sudden, like, the opponent will throw a card right in front of it at the last second to hit it and take that attack from hitting them. And then it throws into, okay, like, how do I flux this now? Because now the line's coming towards me and it's like, all right, I got to do these various things. And like, I just really, really liked the nature of it. And I think also it's like, I am inherently more of a video game person than like a comic book person. And I think Capcom speaks to my soul more than any Marvel property really does outside of like Deadpool and X-Men. So like, maybe that's why, you know, I like it more, but like, I'd love to, I think it's like you're saying, it's like, I think a good discussion point would be kind of talking about some of these game design aspects and like what ticks for you, what doesn't tick for you and things of that nature. But go check out, Teppan if you're so inclined to do so. But we got to get on to the rest of our show. We've been talking about what we've been playing lately for quite a bit. So let's get to the discussion because we're going to be talking about a ton of games that are shutting down from various studios. EA also canceling an upcoming game that hadn't even been announced / released yet. A Nintendo Direct could be coming and Halo is switching engines. That's all coming up here on the One More Game podcast. But let's get to our main title, the main story that we have here for the podcast. And that is a number of games axing their games this week. So we're going to The Verge for this article, and this is because they did a better comprehensive list than some of the other ones, because of course it happened trickling throughout the week. So I found this article to help summarize all of that together, and it goes as follows. This is written by Jay Peters. Over the course of the week, the developers of several major live service titles announced that their game would be shutting down, and that means the players who actively enjoy these games and possibly spent money on them might have to move on to something else. Now, the shutdowns are a reminder of the challenges facing these ambitious online titles. If they don't quickly become massive hits, they might be closed down before they really have time to find their footing. Any new entrants have to fight an uphill battle when it competes against those juggernauts like Destiny 2, Call of Duty Warzone, and Fortnite. So let's get through the games that are shut down. So Apex Legends Mobile will shut down on May 1st at 7 o'clock Eastern and won't be refunding any money that was spent by players on the game. The game launched on May 17th, so of course it is shutting down less than a year later. Respawn Entertainment said that the game's content pipeline had begun to fall short of its bar for quality, quantity, and cadence, which is why the development partner Lightspeed and Quantum Studios have decided to close the game down. Again, that's closing down on May 1st. It also was announced by EA that they're ending development on its Battlefield mobile game that had been in testing. They actually had done an open closed beta testing not long ago and shut it down, and they shut down the studio that was working on that game. So all those employees, of course, are out of a job. Knockout City, the really fun dodgeball battle royale game that I really enjoyed. I think we talked about it even here on the podcast, that was developed by Velen Studios. That is being shut down on June 6th. That game released a couple of years ago now. So of course it released on May 2021. So it released or stayed around for quite a bit longer. The game is going to get an update where private servers and private matches can be found or done following the game shutdown, but of course an online system is no longer going to be there. Rumbleverse, the really fun battle royale wrestling game that I did cover here on Press Start, or did a preview of it, that is shutting down on my birthday on February 28th 2023. Another game that is shutting down on my birthday, that is shutting down. The game was co-developed or developed by Iron Galaxy and was published by Epic Games. They shut that down. They are going to be doing refunds for people who have bought anything in that game. Of course, they're asking everybody to play the game as much as they can here on February 28th, and they did leave the door open about possibly returning to the universe at some point. Crossfire X, the game from Xbox on Xbox Game Pass, that is shutting down on May 18th. That's going to shut down both the multiplayer and online or single player game. Again, that's shutting down on May 18th. The game had not been out for more than a year where that is getting shut down. Echo VR, Meta's flagship VR game, that's shutting down on August 1st. And there was a number of other things that were getting shut down or are being no longer being developed. That is, of course, Square Enix is shutting down their Dragon Quest mobile game. I think that was Dragon Quest. Here, let's see real quick.
The Adventure of Dai, A Hero Spawns. There you go.
That one is shutting down. The Turtle Rock Studios says that they're not making any more new content for Back 4 Blood as they're going to be focusing on their new game. And, the list goes on. So, Pete, that's a lot of games shutting down. That's a lot of things happening here announced in this week. So, how do you feel about the state of some of these online games and the state of online games for the future?
I think I'm kind of half and half with what the article from The Verge is actually saying. They mentioned any new entrants have to fight an uphill battle complete against juggernauts, which I agree with. They mentioned Destiny 2, Call of Duty Warzone, and Fortnite. I'm kind of half and half on that statement because some of these are just mobile games and they're not really competing in the same space, but they are competing in a space of games like Candy Crush and things like that are just been around for eons, that generate tons of money, that people spend a bunch of money on, and that are like a lot faster and snappier game style play that we were talking about with Tepin and with Marvel Snap. And it's something you just play for like 5 minutes while you're at work, while you're kind of catching your breath in between whatever you've been doing at work. And some of these like are a lot longer, and that's something I think they got to keep in mind when they're making these kind of games. When you make a mobile game, it's something you gotta, it's not just something you can play like mobily, just like away from your home or something like that. It's also something that's like, is this a game that people can play in 10 minutes? Is this a game people can play in a short amount of time that they might have? Because I don't think, like some of these games, like Apex Legends mobile, like I didn't play the game personally, so I can't speak to like how the gameplay, but if it's similar to like Apex Legends, like those matches can go on for quite a bit. So if it's similar to that, like if it's like a 30 minute thing, like, yeah, it might be mobile, but it's not like actually like buying into this, that kind of space where it's like, you know, we're having this game happen in like 5 or 10 minutes. And I think that's what successful mobile games are trending towards, is that kind of, it's like, this is a, not only do we have to keep in mind that this is a game people can play like on their phones, it's also a game people can like play for a couple minutes, put down, pick it up later, play it again, put it down. Like, it's not something that they just have to sit there and look at their phones for, or iPads or whatever mobile device for an extended period of time, because that's just not how people ingest that kind of style of game. It's kind of a bummer in the sense of, like, some of these, like, there's some, like you mentioned, Crossfire X, Rumbleverse, those kind of games. Crime Site was another one that the Gamatsu mentioned on their tweet that you linked in here. And that's kind of a bummer. Like, I remember you talking about that one too. I think you said you kind of enjoyed that one.
I really enjoyed it, but the biggest thing I said was player base. I said that the game I said the game was going to struggle because I think it's going to be so hard for the player base to continue to be there, but the game is so fun. And so, yeah, that was another one.
Yeah, kind of piggybacking off of that and piggybacking off of what I was saying earlier, like the other aspect of this is the live games that you just play on your computer. But like, that's the point where I do agree with The Verge, where they got to go up against these games that are like Destiny 2, that are like Call of Duty, that are like, what was the other one that was mentioned? Fortnite. If you're at your computer, you got League of Legends, you got Dota, you got, World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy 14. There's so many things out there that you are competing with. You have to claw your own space. Like, and they're not all competing for the same space, but if you want to make an MMO, you got to kind of accept you're probably going to be the third selection at your best. Yeah. In most cases, compared to World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy 14. Same thing if you're making a MOBA, multiplayer online battle arena, you're already going to be behind the eight ball when it comes to League of Legends and Dota. If you're making a shooting game, you're going to be behind Call of Duty. You're already, like, when you're trying to claw into a space that already exists for something, like, what are you doing that's different, that's interesting, that something else doesn't have? And that's, I think there's a little bit of a struggle there for game designers, and understandably so, because these games are popular for a reason. They are very successful for a reason. They figured out a lot of the tricks of the trade that they can, like, claw and make their little niche in there or whatever. And, when they try things, and if things don't work, they drop them. And then when something's successful, they pour back into that. How many games now have a zombie mode that's like Left 4 Dead or whatever, once people realize, oh, people really like shooting zombies. And, like, now everything has them. So you can't just make, like, a online game that's just like, oh, we go around killing zombies, because it's like, oh, well, every game does that now. So you got to kind of find your new thing. And I think that's a struggle that a lot of games are. So you got to find your target audience and figure out what that target audience is actually looking for. And sometimes you got to invent something that they didn't even know they were looking for, which, you know, adds another wrinkle that is really difficult to figure out too.
Well, the thing is like, even using that last thing that you said there, even if you create something that someone may not have realized that they wanted and noted, you got to find a way to keep them there. Because, for instance, like Knockout City, a battle royale of, you know, not really a battle royale, but a fun dodgeball-esque competitive game. No one knew that they wanted that, but it was a lot of fun and it was very successful at the time. And again, it launched, it got over a year into this, you know, in a sense, close to 2 years, or by the time that it I think shuts down, it will be 2 years. But like, people had a blast for it. But then again, it's like, how do I keep people coming back? What do I justify the development costs? Because anytime you have an ongoing game, just like they talked about, you know, with EA when they shut down Apex Legends Mobile, it's about the quality, the quantity, and the cadence that you release the things. What makes you keep coming back? Using you as, for example, Magic Arena, right? The reason that it keeps getting you back is the cadence of the cards, right? And the cadence of things going on. Genshin Impact, what made you bring back is the cadence of releasing new characters and stuff. And so sometimes, right, it's, can you keep that cadence up? Can you get the players to continue returning and continue doing it? Rumbleverse is another one. I don't think anyone would have said before Rumbleverse released that a battle royale wrestling-centric game would be awesome. But it was. And Rumbleverse, again, shot out when it first came out. This awesome game. People were having a blast with it. But even having a blast with it and being successful in that right, you, what is success, right? And that's the thing, is like, obviously Epic Games, you know, I've seen other you know, podcasters talking about this, and they were like, well, Epic Games, like, that's a huge thing, they could have supported this quite a while. But Epic Games has shown, basically, if it's not successful like Fortnite, they'll shut it down. Paragon is a great example. Paragon was right there before Fortnite, and it got shut down despite the fact that it actually had a lot of people that still played it. That's why there are, you know, a number of copycat Paragons that are out there, like we just talked about in recent weeks, Paragon Overprime, as well as Predecessor, that's in early access right now, right? That was successful, and to some studios, that was successful enough to pursue it, but like for Epic, it was not. And I think Rumbleverse is similarly. Epic, like Rumbleverse, was successful probably in some way or mindset, and for some studios, that was successful enough, but for Epic, it was not. And this is not the first time that they've done these kind of things. And it, you know, something that you said earlier about, you know, of course, trying to like carve your way into somebody's into an area, even if you're not like actually carving, you know, trying to be into something similar game status, which I agree with. But what you're kind of going off of, and it's right, is like, even if you're not trying to fight in the same genre, you know, you're trying to carve your spot in that genre, you're trying to carve a spot into somebody's time. There's only so many hours in a day that someone can dedicate to a game, to dedicate to a video game. And like you said, if they're already, you know, ingrained into World of Warcraft, Destiny 2, Call of Duty Warzone, even if it's not, you're not competing with that game specifically, how do you, as a multiplayer and online presence game, carve the time away for them to go, look, I want to go jump on Crime Site. I want to go jump on Rumbleverse. And that's the, you know, the sad thing of this. I think it really shows, in a sense though, just like how hard sometimes these online multiplayer games can be, because even if you're successful at one period of time, that doesn't mean success is guaranteed for you as the time goes on, as the months move on. And you're having to, for these online games, dedicate consistent development time, consistent money towards it. So it's not like a single player game, or even if it's a single player game that has a online component, where you don't necessarily have to continue to roll out updates, but it's like, okay, we dropped the money on this, we built it, it's all good, we got our money, we got it, whatever it is, we now can turn our focus to our new game and develop it, and maybe leave like a small you know, number of people to, you know, do development updates or support updates. You have to dedicate a number of people to that to continue shaping and developing it. Now, Fortnite has the luxury of ton of money going on their side from Epic Games that they can put Naruto in there that draws the Naruto crowd in, or Goku, or WWE's John Cena, even though he's a ghost figure apparently in that game, because of course you can't see him. You know, it's one of those things, like they have the money to bring the IPs that just continues to bring the eyes on there. But like, again, a studio like Rumble or Iron Galaxy that made Rumbleverse, they don't have the money as well. Epic is there. I'm sure Epic is not going to just like throw a number of money at partnerships for them, because at the end of the day, Iron Galaxy is not an Epic Games studio, right? You know, Valen Studios, the one that did Knockout City, they're technically an indie studio. And it's why they also said like they don't have the staff to keep dedicating to this game when they need to focus on a new game. You know, Turtle Rock Studios with Back 4 Blood, same thing. Like they were like, we know the game's fun, we know that people are having a blast with it, but like, we're a small studio, we can't keep rolling out content for this game while we try to develop a new game. It would just take them forever. So it's like one of those things of, I'd love to just pick the brain of some of these studios and also like ask them, what is success to you? Like what with Rumbleverse, for instance, for Iron Galaxy, was that it when they launched it? What was that determination of success for them? And how long? I know that theoretically you want to let a game live as long as humanly possible, but like, how long were you realistically wanting the game to be? Like, was this timeline, this amount of time for Rumbleverse, which I doubt, I probably, they wanted at a year at minimum, but like, are you happy with the fact you at least got to this point and had the success that you had? Knockout City, same thing. Are you happy with like where you got to and how long the game was out there? Like, that's an interesting factor, and of course goes into the mindset of like, what was the development studio's you know, measurable success bars, their key performance indicators that they were looking for.
Yeah, those are going to vary from studio to studio, because like you said, some studios are going to have a ton of money that they can like theoretically invest, like maybe take a small hit every once in a while, and then just like, you know, at the tail end of like a season, and then all of a sudden, boom, new content, and they're fine with it. And then some studios are like really small, and they're not going to be able to focus on doing that. And that's another thing too. Maybe some of these studios, like when they were starting, it's like, oh, we just keep it going. Once we get something popular, it's like, oh wait, now we can't work on any other projects that we'd actually, because we keep going back to, like, these are a lot of these studios, the smaller ones, are like run by people who are game developers themselves, and they're artists. Those are people who are artists. They have things they want to do. They don't want to just do the same thing over and over again. It's kind of like Hollywood actors or a lot of athletes. They're just like, I just don't want to like be viewed as like someone that's like typecast. I want to be able to do, you know, show my chops and be able to do multiple different things, not just the one thing that you know me for.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to our next article real quick. EA canceling their Apex Legends Titanfall single-player game before it even gets announced. This is written by Wesley LeBlanc over at Game Informer, and it goes as follows. Electronic Arts has reportedly canceled a single-player game set in the shared Apex Legends and Titanfall universe. This news comes way of Bloomberg, which reports that three people familiar with the matter say EA canceled the project, codenamed TFL or Titanfall Legends, that was in development at Apex Legends developer Respawn Entertainment. Roughly 50 people were on the team working on this game, and EA will reportedly attempt to find positions for these employees elsewhere within the company. And of course, those that cannot be found a position will be laid off with severance pay, according to Bloomberg. The publication says Mohamed Alavi, Titanfall 2 and Apex Legends designer, was set to direct the now canceled game, but they left the company back in 2022. And it's likely this canceled single player game was set in the universe, was the one that was hinted back in a July job posting that referred to the game as an, quote, Apex Universe FPS incubation title. Pete, of course, I don't know how much you've played of Titanfall. Sounds like you've played a little bit of Apex Legends, but like, how basically bummed are you about a single player game set in this universe being canceled?
This honestly reminds me of StarCraft Ghost, when that game was like development hell for like 10 years. I guess this one is not nearly as long, but we're just like, oh, we're gonna get a single player StarCraft game. And it never came. And I always remember being like originally really stoked and kind of just like after a while just forget about it. And then something would pop up reminding me, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's a thing. Anyway, I kind of bummed out. This one sounds less like, I mean, they're all probably related in some facet, but this sounds more like a thing, kind of like a thing focused on like the National Reserve created recession that we're kind of heading, that seemed to be possibly heading towards, more so than like the fact that they just like kind of gave up on it. I think probably some of it was Mohamed Alavi leaving the studio in 2022 too, but it sounds more like, hey, we need to cut costs somewhere, we need to find ways to shed money. And this seems like a thing that's like, yeah, this would be really cool if we get it, but also like, we already have Apex Legends, so like, why don't we just focus our money and time on that and keep that going? Titanfall Legends is a little bit of a more bummer, because I know people were looking forward to another Titanfall game. So that one not being around or not being created, but also like, I haven't played a lot of Titanfall, but Titanfall is also kind of like a more multiplayer focus too, right? And I'm sure people would have loved a Titanfall single player, but like, I don't know if that's a similar way. That's the reason people typically ingest Titanfall itself as much as the game, way the game it is.
So of course it has multiplayer, and it is the, you know, the multiplayer aspect, but Titanfall 2's single player content or single player story is considered one of the best, if not the best, shooter stories out there. So that's kind of why Titanfall 2 and why so many people really want another Titanfall is to continue to see that, because Titanfall is a lot of fun. I mean, obviously Apex Legends is a ton of fun because it really pulls on a lot of the Titanfall aspects because of the studio. But, you know, this is a bummer for me because I really like Apex Legends. I haven't played it in a while, but like, I really like Apex Legends. I love the characters. I love the battle royale aspects, and Titanfall is a lot of fun too. So like, I would have loved to see this like shared universe within the. I mean, I know that Apex Legends takes place in the Titanfall universe, but you get what I mean. Like the shared universe of like Apex characters with Titanfall and things of that nature. So it's a little bit of a bummer that it got canceled, but I agree with you. I think like what we're seeing with the layoffs and all the things that are going on is because of the recession that we're kind of in at the moment, that a lot of studios are just having to find, ways to cut costs and make things work. And, you know, of course, this is just the culprit of that. And, hopefully maybe at some point down the line, this game can get renewed in some way, in some fashion. Right now, as they talk about at the end of this article, Respawn's focus is probably getting Star Wars Jedi Survivor out there because they know that one's going to sell well, and that got delayed.
Yeah.
And so it's probably one of those things of like, look, we gotta focus on the core games that we know is going to continue to make us money while we go through this financial times. Sure. and see how things go from there. So. Because of timing, let's get to the next article, and that is a Nintendo Direct could be coming this week. We're going to Video Games Chronicle for this one, written by Tom Ivan, and it goes as follows. A new Nintendo Direct showcase could be held next week, it's been claimed. Asked about speculation that a Nintendo Direct presentation could take place this month, Giant Bomb reporter Jeff Grubb said he'd heard that a showcase is planned for the week beginning on February 6th. Everything I'm hearing, and it's all just sort of reiterating it, it continues to be the week of February 6th, he said. Over and over and over again, every little detail I get is basically a week from now, we should begin hearing about all this stuff. He added, I think it's probably late in the week, so if February 6th is going to come around, we're not going to hear about it, and people are going to freak out like there's nothing happening. First of all, I'm not guaranteeing it for that week. I'm just saying that everything is sort of pointing to that right now. And I don't think that it's too surprising because they always have one in February or March at the latest. I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen pretty soon, and I wouldn't be surprised if all these indicators are exactly right, especially with the stuff shaking loose with Advanced Wars 1 and 2. Now, what he's referencing there, of course, is last week the Nintendo eShop page for Advanced Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp was updated, potentially indicating that a new release date for the long-delayed game could be announced soon. So, Pete, how excited are you for a potential Nintendo Direct coming this week?
I'm more excited about the potential Nintendo Direct than I am Advance Wars 1 and 2, although I know a lot of people are looking forward to that game, so hopefully like that's official. The article itself, reading it, was kind of amusing because Jeff Grubb, Giant Bomb reporter, was more like saying like, I think there's a Nintendo Direct's going to happen. Things that I'm hearing are saying it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. Don't blame me if it doesn't happen. But I think it's going to happen. But you're not hearing it from me. I'm just passing it along. So it was kind of funny reading. It was just like he was just like trying to say this was happening. But then it's like, well, if it's not happening, it's not my fault, which it isn't. But it's also like, you know,
it's amusing.
It is a little bit amusing. The one thing that was kind of referenced is that we're getting later in the article is that The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom was delayed. We already knew it was delayed and it was supposed to be released in May. So maybe if we get a Nintendo Direct, we'll see some new stuff about that. And that would be pretty cool, too. So I'm kind of looking more forward to that, even though Advanced Wars, if indeed it is now going to have a release date, it'd probably be like not necessarily like the main course, but definitely like a premier side dish, kind of like, you know, you get like a mashed potatoes or something, you get in the meal.
I kind of laughed about it too. Jeff Grubb is a great reporter and he gets a lot of insiders and stuff, but I do find typically at times when he talks about some of these things, he tends to do that whole like, I'm telling you this, but don't take my word for it, all right? You know, I'm not saying it actually will happen, but it might.
That's a Dave Meltzer kind of thing for pro wrestling, yeah.
Yeah, and so so it's kind of amusing in that regard. But like it said, I mean, the game is, again, Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom is supposed to come out in May. We haven't seen too much of it since we got the release date. We know it should be coming. Yeah. So, like, if there is a Direct, I think right now, would be the best time, you know, this February, March area. And of course, in the last 4 years, there's been a Direct in this time frame. So like, it makes sense if there's going to be one. It also makes sense because, of course, this is in the first quarter of the year to kind of really try to lay out some of the roadmap for the next couple of months. And with a Direct, as you know, they usually do for even going further. So it can really be like a, hey, here's what we got coming in the next couple of months. Here's what we got coming later in the year. And we'll update those games at a direct later in the year type of thing. So I kind of am hoping that we get one, because I'd love to see kind of what's coming down the pipeline for Nintendo. They got, of course, a number of games, Legend of Zelda being one of them, that has my interest and makes me want to see what's coming from them. So, and we always talk about it. I love showcases. I love getting hyped for announcements. Yeah. So I would love to see.
Nintendo does it right too. Nintendo usually hits pretty solid bangers for each of those, at least like, you know, doubles or something.
Yeah, they do. They do a really good job. Let's go over to Xbox for this next one. We're going talking about Halo Infinite. Won't be getting story DLC, and the series is switching to Unreal. This is coming from Kotaku, written by Zach Zwizen, and it goes as follows. Things are changing at Halo developer 343 Industries following massive layoffs across Microsoft, which included nearly reportedly 95 people at the Halo developer. The studio is switching to Unreal Engine and has no plans to make more story content for 2021's Halo Infinite, and continues trying to figure out what to do with a supposed Halo Battle Royale spinoff still in development. Now, in the report that came out from Bloomberg, it appears 343 is basically starting from scratch with Halo. According to people familiar with the studio's plans, the company isn't actively working on new campaign DLC or updates for Halo Infinite. Instead, before the layoff, developers at 343 were reportedly working on prototypes for new Halo games and projects in Unreal instead of designing new content for Infinite. And according to the report, many of those devs have since been laid off. Just skipping down real quick, basically they have now made the decision to go to Unreal, and while these internal concerns about how future Halo projects made with Unreal will play, the current tech, which is known as Slipstream, is apparently a pain to work with and is based on decades-old code at this point. Bloomberg's report even mentions that two multiplayer modes for Halo Infinite, Extraction and Assault, are nearly done, but haven't been implemented yet due to issues with the aging Slipstream tool and tech. So Pete, what are your thoughts about kind of this update to an article that we've made mention previously after following the layoffs and the changes with Halo Infinite?
I feel like we've been down this road before. The last few times we've had a Halo game, it comes out supposed to be really big, kind of falters a little bit, and like they're like, oh, we're gonna do better next time. I mean, this Halo Infinite was supposed to be like a 10-year project essentially that they just kept making money off of and kept making money off of. Now they're like, all right, we're done. We're going to start from scratch. We're going to start from the ground up. And they're starting basically from zero, because they're starting with a whole new, apparently, engine with the Unreal Engine. The Slipstream aspect of it, is that like a Microsoft specific thing? I couldn't find like anything specific on whatever tech they were using for that. I was trying to.
Yeah, it's like, so a number of studios have their own engines that they work in. So like, for instance, mm-hmm. with like EA, they use the Frostbite engine. And that was like a game development engine that they created in-house. And I think Slipstream was the same thing. Like Microsoft and 343 Industries developed the Slipstream engine. And of course, as they're saying here, this engine is older, is an old engine.
Yeah,
right?
They haven't updated it at all. I can't understand why you would handcuff yourself like that with decades old code. Like, you didn't have anything. They didn't update it. They didn't have a team working on it, apparently, or not. Like, that was the part that kind of blew me away. I'm like, you're just basically handcuffing yourself a little bit now just because you're working on a worse product and you're Microsoft. You're supposed to be like one of the forerunners of like creating this kind of stuff. Like, what is going on there? That was kind of weird. So I'm actually really interested and excited to see what they can do with Unreal, because Unreal's like always been like a big name product. It's like the newest one, what is it, 5 now or whatever?
Yes.
That's supposed to be even like better than ever. So like, I'm really interested to see what they can do, but it's really weird that they're just like, yeah, we're just going to work on the next Halo game, even though we're supposed to do this. We're just basically dropping everything and just going to work on some smaller aspects for this Halo Infinite, it seems like. So, you know, I mean, we talked about it before. 343's got to step up their game, man. This is the third Halo in a row that's kind of been underwhelming after an extended period of time. I mean, maybe the Unreal Engine thing helps a little bit, but helps somewhat, and they actually have something that's like not decades old code on it now. But man, like, I didn't think they were just going to start from scratch all of a sudden either. That's kind of a bomb drop, honestly, it seems like.
Well, I think that that makes a little bit of sense because you are switching engines. And of course, you know, you're not going to be able to fully carry things over. But it is one of those things of, okay, cool. They're switching to Unreal Engine. That's great. And like, you know, you're kind of saying, I hope that that's the step forward that 343 Industries needs to really find their groove and make Halo what it is. Because I think even, I think almost anyone could argue and say, Halo is still the most important IP that Microsoft has. So you gotta, if that's your most important IP, you gotta make it continue to knock it out of the park each time. And right now it hasn't been knocking out of the park. The thing that's just really interesting is the fact that they're like, they're not, at least according to this article, they're not really going to be putting too much updates into Halo Infinite, which is a far cry from like all the messaging around Halo Infinite leading up to release. Like this was supposed to be that kind of like evergreen, everlasting, constantly getting updates type of game. And we know from what we've seen already that that hasn't really been the case. Like a lot of things have been delayed. A lot of updates have been delayed, which is why like there's been a lot of outcry when it comes to Halo Infinite. But if this is true, then it really feels like they threw in the towel. And that's kind of the tough part, you know, especially as someone who like really likes Halo Infinite's, you know, multiplayer and wants to see more things. You're going to look at it and be like, why do I want to keep investing in it? Besides the fact that it's Halo and like I can play some multiplayer games, like I'm not really getting anything out of my time sink. This goes back to our first article, right? You got to keep people around and give them a reason to keep going in. And if you're throwing in the towel saying, look, like in a sense, they, this is a report. You're throwing in a towel saying like, look, we're not going to be putting out too much updates. Then you're basically telling the person, look, you either want to play this game because you want to play it, or go ahead and go find something different because we're not giving you too much for you to come back to. So it'll be interesting to see like what this, what ends up being said, how it comes out, what actually comes from the studios. Do they even answer this and try to reassure their fans in some form or fashion like they did originally when the report was that 343 Industries was getting Halo removed from them, which again, we still don't know if that's actually true, even if them saying, hey, it's not going anywhere, because that original article did say 343 is still going to oversee the projects. They're just not doing the full lead development of it. So we'll see how that all goes. Due to timing, we'll go very quickly with this last one. And it's something, of course, because I forced you
to watch. Not going
to take a long time. Yeah, I forced you to watch this. But we're going to enemy.com for this one, written by Ali Shuttler. And it is the day before fans aren't impressed with the long-awaited gameplay trailer. So this is kind of an update to that article that we talked about in last week's episode, that the game was delayed because of a trademark dispute. And there was supposed to be a 10-minute gameplay review that got delayed because of this trademark dispute. Well, then all of a sudden it released out of nowhere. And like the Fantastic was like, hey, here's the demo. And it was 10, or the gameplay reveal, and it was 10 minutes. And I'm not really going to read too much of the article, but I'm going to just get to there. Basically, it came out. People looked at it. It was a raw gameplay footage. And here are some of the things that basically fans of the game said. Best jogging simulator I've ever seen, wrote one fan. Another fan said, for a game that was previously meant to come out this month, this sure is a unique gameplay reveal. And there was a number of other ones. I'm trying to find some of them. This sure is a video of a game being played. And then if you, another one, if you look for the definition of words bland, generic, flat, boring, and scam on the direct dictionary, you will find the link to the day before reveal trailer. So Pete, I made you watch the 10-minute gameplay trailer. What is your thoughts on this?
I two-speeded it. Is that good enough for thoughts on it? It, I mean, if this was like the initial video that we were supposed to see for a game that was just like starting in development, I think it's really interesting and it's really cool to see where they're going from there. This game was supposed to release in a month. They didn't show a lot. They didn't show much at all for 10 minutes of gameplay, especially since a lot of it was, like the one for one commenter said, it was a jogging simulator. You're just kind of running down the street. They didn't show a lot. They showed some tinkering at the inventory and like you were at a workbench, like doing stuff with your gun that I don't know if it made it better or worse. Yeah, do it better, made it better or worse, or just made it look different. I don't even know if it was cosmetic or if it actually had a point to it. It's, if this is supposed to be a game that's supposed to be like close to completion, where like the reason why, the only reason it didn't really like get released was because of a copyright issue. It sure as shit didn't look like that. It sure as shit looked like a game that was like early stages of development, which is fine. But why are you trying to like make some point that it's like, nah, man, we could release this like next week if we wanted to. And it's like, it sure don't look like you could.
Yeah.
And maybe this game, maybe they have something up their sleeve. Maybe they're going to release like a game of the year prospect, like when it finally comes out. But like, if I had to guess if it was going to release this year, or like if I was going to take this year or the field, I'm probably taking the field if I had to put money down on when this game releases.
Don't believe them that they say it's going to come out in November.
Man, look, you and I work in television. We know when people are trying to fill time. That looked like someone was trying to fill time in that game to play the trailer, man. That did not look like somebody that was trying to show off anything.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be honest, man. Me and one of my best friends, Cody, we both were really looking forward to this game because the original trailers that we saw looked awesome, right? Admittedly, if you go back to the original initial trailer, it looked awesome. It looked way more polished in a sense than this. Now, the world that they had, like the scenery, that looked great. And I think that tributes to the Unreal Engine 5 that they switched to, which is one of the reasons that it got delayed from before.
Yeah.
It looked great. And so it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, that shows the Unreal Engine 5, you know, at its work. But yeah, man, this does not look like it was ready to release. It does not look like it's going to be ready to release this year. And it really killed my drive for this game. Like I admittedly went from like, I really want to play this to, I don't know if I'm even going to try it because it's not a free to play game. And that's the thing that's rough with it. The character itself, while I know everyone kept commenting on the hind end of that character, you know, and stuff, it looked very bland. Like it did not look like a high quality character, which is fine. But again, the world around it was a high quality look. So it's like your main character needs to reflect the world that it's in, and it did not reflect the world that it's in. And the other thing that I want to say is like, and I agree, if the game got delayed because of a trademark dispute, why did they release this trailer now with the name out there the day before and all that jazz if there's a trademark dispute going on? Like, that almost feels like the trademark dispute is baloney. It is complete bullcrap. Because, like, you would think that it's like, hey, we got to hold off on releasing anything because it's going to have the name on there. And, like, it literally opens up with a title that says, like, the day before. So it's like, I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, and to be clear, really quick before you go, delays are fine. The problem is this game was like supposed to release next month, like I think March 8th or something. Like, so this game does not look like a game that's ready to be released in a month. So like, what's the deal?
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah, that, and if this was supposed to be your gameplay reveal to get people hyped for the game, you didn't do a good job, because like you said. Yeah. You watched it on 2x speed, and it was a filler. It was a lot of just...
It was 100% filler.
So it's like, there's so many problems that are there. But again, Pete, when is this game supposed to release? Sometime maybe in November. Sometime in November. Maybe never. Who knows? But you might be interested in some other games, and I'm going to tell you all about those games that are coming up, and I accidentally closed out of the...
You want me to read it? I got it.
There you go. Go through the games that are coming out.
All right, got Tuesday, February 7th, Endling Extinction is Forever on iOS and Android. It's already released on Steam, so a little bit of a mobile action there. We got Scorchlands Early Access on PC. You can get that on Steam. Nadir, a Grimdark Deck Builder on Switch and PC. Prison Tycoon under new management on the PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Now, the Thursday, February 9th, we got Monster Outbreak on Switch. And Friday, February 10th, we have Hogwarts Legacy on the PS5, Xbox Series, and PC. So, Jeremy, what are you looking forward to playing on this fairly small list of games compared to what we normally have?
Yeah, this was really interesting because this week I was like, it was hard finding games to put on this list. Originally,
I figured because you usually have like at least like almost like three quarters of a full page.
Yeah, admittedly, when I first created this list on the first two websites I went to, there was two games on this list. I go through five different websites to create this list. To peel back the curtain, everyone, I would go to five websites, and normally the first two websites I have almost all of them, and then it's usually like more indie games get added on the other ones. This one, it was literally like, two websites, I had two games. I was like, oh gosh, we're not going to have a lot of time. But the only games that I would be, that I'm interested in, or that I'd pass along, is Endling Extinction is Forever. So that game, if I remember correctly, is also out on Switch. As you said, it's already out on Steam. Endling Extinction is Forever is this like really cute like game where you're a fox and you have you're a mother fox and you have these I don't know what they call them, cubs or not, but you have your baby foxes that follow along with you.
Pups, because it's a fox. Okay. Dogs, but so I could be wrong.
There you go. We'll go with pups. So you have those and you're trying to like lead them through this world that's in an extinction, basically, that's going on. And it looked fantastic when all the trailers leading up to its release. So I know it's coming out for Android now, or mobile, I should say now, but it still looks great. So that would be the other the one. And then the other one, admittedly, it's one that's very torn. I know a lot of people, it's discussions back and forth.
That's an understatement.
Yes. Hogwarts Legacy. Now, I will say, and I'll take the time right now to say, J.K. Rowling is a piece of shit. J.K. Rowling is a transphobic person. So, hey,
yes,
just being straight up with it.
I'm just agreeing.
Yeah. So, she sucks. And I also want to take the time right now that if you want to donate to an LGBTQ+ charity or an organization that supports LGBTQ+ people, there is some links to some of those charities down in the description below, and we'll have them, of course, in the show notes on the podcast services. But Hogwarts Legacy, in my opinion, I know that some people say that the game doesn't look good. I think the game does look good. I think the fact of like what was presented by Warner Brothers Avalanche, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of good time. I don't know what the story is going to be like. I don't know like how that's going to end up shaping out in general. But it looks like a lot of fun, and that would be the other game that I'd be on this list. But like, you know, Pete, you already know I have so many games that I'm playing right now. I'm likely not picking up any of these. Like, I just have too many games.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm not gonna pick up any of them. As you mentioned, Hogwarts Legacy, for a lot of wrong reasons, is probably the biggest name on the list. Endling was interesting. I've actually wanted to play that since it came out on Steam, because it reminds me of some of the other games. Remember when I first started on here, which, by the way, 1 year.
When yeah,
as an official co-host, forgot to bring that up earlier. My bad. That was one of those games Submerged when I first started. Where co-hosting like has those kind of vibes, so kind of interesting in that regard. If you like Scorchlands, I didn't say I loved it, and I'm certainly probably not going to pick it up. But it was an interesting kind of spin on city builder games. So that was like the one thing where I'm like, huh, that's kind of cool. But those are like the big two. Certainly not Prison Tycoon, which is wild. That's a game. If you want to build your own prison and incarcerate people, we're really good at that as a nation, I guess. But that's, I'm a little surprised that's a game and that's something people would want. But if they're making it, because I'm pretty sure this isn't the first one, people are probably buying it. So
I'm sure there will be people who will buy that game. But yeah, that's all that we have for the list. And then yes, just once again, I want to say again, we will have links to some LGBTQ support organizations in the description and in the show notes, that if you are wanting to support any of those, you can go ahead and use those links to donate to those charities. But Pete, that's all that we have for this episode. Is there anything you want to leave our listeners with before we send them off into the work week this time?
Have a good work week. Don't work too hard. Don't let your bosses get you down. Try to enjoy life. That's about it.
Yeah, and so as a reminder, everyone, for the month of February, I almost said September for some reason, for the month of February.
8 months, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. But we will be recording on basically every Sunday because of the timing schedule, so do keep that in mind for this month. But everyone, that is all that we have here for the One More Game podcast. I've been one of your co-hosts, Jeremy Culver, a.k.a. Darcy. This has been the California Thirst Quencher, Pete Legia, and we really enjoy bringing this to you. So as always, everybody, stay hydrated, stay healthy, stay safe, and keep on gaming. We'll see you guys on the next episode.